Holy Gospel is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this evening. Immediately, Jesus urged the disciples to get into the boat and to go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed the crowd, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. By then, the boat was quite a distance from shore, being pounded by the waves because the wind was against it. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came toward them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and cried out in fear, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." Peter stepped down from the boat, walked on the water, and went toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind, he was afraid. As he began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. Those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm sinking. With the wind whipping up the waves around him on that dark night, Peter suddenly focused on one thing. I'm sinking? The stormy waters of the Sea of Galilee had covered his feet, and soon his knees disappeared beneath the dark waters, quickly coming up over his hips, up to his chest, and finally up to his chin. All he could do was try to reach out, but there's nothing to reach out for. It's just water. I'm sinking! The strong winds began to crash waves over the top of his head. He began to sink and to bob underneath the surface of the water. Every once in a while, he might pop up again. And one of those times, he burst up to the surface for air just long enough for him to cry out, "Lord, save me!" But how did Peter get there? Out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee on a dangerously windy night. He wasn't in a boat. He wasn't out for a swim. He was sinking and nearly drowning. Now, the last time we saw Peter, he was with the other disciples gathering basketfuls of fish and bread leftovers from a crowd of thousands. Jesus had given them this, miraculously given them this huge feast, but now it was time for everyone to go home, and the disciples were starting to wonder how long it was going to take for crowd control to get everybody out of there. But as he had with dinner, Jesus took care of the crowd control too. Immediately, Jesus urged the disciples to get into the boat, to go ahead of him to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowd. So they got into the boat and they left. At long last, Jesus had sent everyone on their way and finally finished dismissing the crowds. And by the time the sun went down, Jesus was alone. That actually worked out really well for him, because Jesus then went up onto the mountain to pray, just by himself. Jesus had been so very busy. He'd been healing the sick. He had been proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He had been miraculously feeding thousands of people, and he was also dealing with sadness because he had just gotten word that his cousin John the Baptizer had been put to death. Jesus needed to spend some time in prayer with his heavenly Father, and there Jesus found the rest he needed, the renewal that was necessary for him to keep going. But where were the disciples? Now, many of those disciples had grown up along the sea. So many of them had even worked on the Sea of Galilee. They were experienced, but out there in the middle of the lake, they were having the most difficult time. See, they were stuck. They were stuck out there. They could not, for the life of them, get across the lake. Matthew, who was there in the boat with the disciples, he tells us, the boat was quite a distance from shore, being pounded by the waves because the wind was against it. The wind was relentless. Rushing down from the hills, they put the Sea of Galilee at the bottom. It was basically a big bowl. The wind battered their boat and brought them to a complete stop out in the middle of the water. A frustrating stop out in the middle of the lake. With all their might, they fought against the wind and the waves, but to no avail. In hours passed, bodies grew tired. Now remember, these guys had had a very, very long day already before that, and now it was early morning. Matthew says the fourth watch of the night. You're talking 3 a.m., between 3 and 6 a.m. The sun hasn't come up yet, but it has been an all-nighter out there on the lake. These guys haven't slept for a while, and they're stuck on the water. But about that time, something changed. A couple of the disciples, as they were fighting through in the wind and the waves, they looked out through the darkness, and they saw something really unusual, something that was absolutely impossible. There's a figure out there, and it looked kind of like Jesus, and he was walking on the sea. Now, after the long day, dealing with those crowds and with the miracles and with bodies and minds just totally wiped out, they just couldn't process what they were seeing. It was just illogical, unbelievable. And Matthew tells us what he saw. The disciples saw him walking. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They cried out in fear, "It's a ghost!" Now, you might chuckle a little bit. You think it's a ghost out on the lake, but can you blame them? Human beings don't walk on water, at least not solid water. It is just unbelievable. They could not explain it. But Jesus shouted back to them, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." Clearly not a ghost. We're not told what most of the disciples were thinking at that moment, except for one, Peter. Simon Peter was something of a leader among the disciples. He certainly was the most outspoken of the disciples. Yet in that moment, when Peter realized that that figure out there, that shadowy figure out on the lake, was Jesus, his fear went away. Suddenly, he was filled with confidence in Christ again, and then he makes the most improbable of requests. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." I don't know about you, and perhaps I have watched too many scary movies over the years, but unless I am absolutely sure that that is Jesus out on the water, I am not going to dare to do what Peter did, and yet he did. And Jesus responded, "Come. Keep your eyes on me." Now you can imagine the scene. The boat is rocking back and forth from the wind and the waves, and Peter is gingerly putting one leg over the side of the boat, watching this water, and putting another foot over the side of the boat, and then he steps down into the water. In that moment, you wonder what's going through his head. But one thing he absolutely knew: the roiling liquid beneath his feet was solid, because his eyes were fixed on Jesus. And what are we told? Peter walked on the water. He went toward Jesus. Imagine that. Peter actually walking toward Jesus on water. This isn't frozen. The lake's not frozen at all. This isn't hard water. This is actually, it's a stormy sea, but he is walking there. And it's just unbelievable. As long as his eyes were on Jesus, as long as he was looking at Jesus, the way was clear. He knew where he was headed. He knew he was going to get there to be with Jesus. But then the wind whipped up again. Another wave crashed. The waters roiled and foamed, and Peter looked away from Jesus. He could see the strong winds, and he was afraid. With his eyes off of Jesus and the fear in his heart and mind starting to grow to the point of being like a boulder dragging him down beneath the waves, Peter began to sink. And the strong winds, they began to crash waves over his head again. He started to flail as his head dipped below the waters, and with a burst above the surface for air, he cried out once more, "Lord, save me!" So when was the last time you found yourself sinking? whether we choose to admit it or not. We've all been there at some point in our lives, even if only in our heart of hearts. When the waters of trouble are just covering your feet, it's no big deal. You can handle it. When those waters go over your knees, you start to get a little concerned. When they rise above your hips, into your chest, and up to your chin, then you start to get a little worried. I'm sinking? I'm sinking? At that point, it doesn't take much for a single wave to come crashing over your head and for you to even feel like you're slipping beneath the surface, all feeling so totally overwhelmed before you burst to the surface once more, gasping for air, crying out before you go under again, Lord, save me. How did you get there? Drowning in the middle of life's sea of troubles. How do I? Because you know what? It happens to pastors too. There's no reason we should be drowning, right? I mean, week after week, Jesus comes to us through his word. He comes to us through his supper, and he feeds our souls. Peace for your anxiety. Forgiveness for your guilt. Confidence for your worry. Trust for your fear. Grace for your shame. Hope for your uncertainty. Healing for your brokenness. Life for your death. Jesus calls us to come and follow him. Keep your eyes on me. He gives us so much. And then he sends us back out into our holy callings. At times, sometimes serving Jesus in those holy callings, whether at home or at work or at school or out in the community or a church, it can be hard. It can seem like we're getting nowhere, like we're fighting the wind and the waves are pounding, and pretty soon it's so easy in the middle of the week to keep our eyes on it. It's so easy for us to start looking at other things. It's not as easy to keep our eyes on Jesus in the middle of a tough week. Stress and worry and anxiety come back with a fury. Fear for ourselves or our loved ones robs us of sleep or of good health. Loneliness, weariness, and conflict set us up to fall into temptation. Uncertainty leaves us wondering about the present or the future, while brokenness leaves us wondering how we're going to pick up the pieces. Guilt leads to shame, which then leads to more guilt. And by the end of the week, all we can see around us is wind and waves, with our trust in Jesus reduced to fear and doubt and despair. Lord, save me. You know, you wouldn't blame Jesus for letting Peter slip beneath those stormy waters. After all, he had failed to keep his eyes on Jesus. He had let the sight of the wind and the waves fill him with fear. But don't forget, our Savior is neither cruel in his righteousness nor helpless to save. What does Jesus do? Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? Keep your eyes on me." Jesus pulls Peter up out of those consuming waters, and there is no way on God's green earth that Peter is going to let go of his Savior. Drenched and holding Jesus with every fiber of his being, they take one step together. And the water holds. Then another. And another. And another, until finally they get back to the boat. But what about the wind that's battering that boat and drenching the disciples inside? I mean, Jesus helps Peter get back into the boat, and then Jesus himself climbs back in. And what happens to all that noise? What happens to all the fury of the sea? The wind stopped. Now, when Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves from a storm about a year or so earlier, his disciples in the boat had wondered to themselves, who is this Jesus that even the wind and the waves obey him? But not this time. The disciples had seen Jesus for who he was. They had seen his grace and mercy on the crowd. They had seen his power to provide. They had seen his power over creation and his love that saved Peter from certain death. There was no doubt in their hearts who Jesus was. And Matthew, who is drenched in the boat, tells us that those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." You know, you wouldn't blame Jesus for letting us slip beneath the stormy waters of the sea of life's troubles. After all, how often don't we fail to keep our eyes on Jesus, even when he tells us again and again and again? How often don't we let the sight of the wind and waves of this life fill us with fear and anxiety, with worry and guilt? Yet our Savior is neither cruel in his righteousness nor helpless to save. In those moments, in those days or weeks or those seasons of life, when we feel so very overwhelmed, Jesus stretches out his nail-scarred hand again and saves us. With love beyond all measure, with power everlasting, Jesus pulls us up out of those life-consuming waters and he restores our faith in him. Keep your eyes on me. He tells us that as we cling with every fiber of our being to him, and he guides us back to the safety of his grace. But what of the storm? What about the winds that howl all around us? What about all that noise that threatens to overwhelm us and fill us with fear again? What about the waves that still batter our boat to the point that it's really easy to lose sight of Jesus again? Well, see the Son of God help you back into the boat. See him climb into the boat right next to you. Full of all the peace and power and grace he can provide. And hear the noise stop. See the winds calm. See the waves return to a sea at peace. Why? Because Jesus is there. And once again, confess that the Jesus you see, the Jesus sitting next to you, the Jesus always with you, the Jesus who saved you, truly is the Son of God. Keep your eyes on him. Amen.